Penguin Random House Audio presents The Friend by Sigrid Nunez. Read for you by Hilary Huber. You have to realize that you cannot hope to console yourself for your grief by writing. Natalia Ginsburg, My Vocation. You will see a large chest standing in the middle of the floor, and upon it a dog seated, with a pair of eyes as large as teacups, but you need not be at all afraid of him. Hans Christian Andersen, The Tinderbox. The question any novel is really trying to answer is life worth living? Nicholson Baker, The Art of Fiction, number 212, The Paris Review. Part 1. During the 1980s in California, a large number of Cambodian women went to their doctors with the same complaint. They could not see. The women were all war refugees. Before fleeing their homeland, they had witnessed the atrocities for which the Khmer Rouge, which had been in power from 1975 to 1979, was well known. Many of the women had been raped or tortured or otherwise brutalized. Most had seen family members murdered in front of them. One woman, who never again saw her husband and three children after soldiers came and took them away, said that she had lost her sight after having cried every day for 4 years. She was not the only one who appeared to have cried herself blind. Others suffered from blurred or partial vision, their eyes troubled by shadows and pains. The doctors who examined the women, about 150 in all, found that their eyes were normal. Further tests showed that their brains were normal as well. If the women were telling the truth, and there were some who doubted this, who thought the women might be malingering because they wanted attention or were hoping to collect disability, the only explanation was psychosomatic blindness. In other words, the women's minds, forced to take in so much horror and unable to take more, had managed to turn out the lights. This was the last thing you and I talked about while you were still alive. After, only your email with a list of books you thought might be helpful to me in my research. And, because it was the season, best wishes for the new year. There were two errors in your obituary. The date you moved from London to New York, off by 1 year. Misspelling of the maiden name of Wife One. Small errors, which were later corrected, but which we all knew would have annoyed the hell out of you. But at your memorial, I overheard something that would have amused you. I wish I could pray. What's stopping you? He is. Would have. The dead dwell in the conditional, tense of the unreal. But there is also the extraordinary sense that you have become omniscient, that nothing we do or think or feel can be kept from you. The extraordinary sense that you are reading these words, that you know what they'll say even before I write them. It's true that if you cry hard enough for long enough, you can end up with blurred vision. I was lying down. It was the middle of the day, but I was in bed. All the crying had given me a headache. I'd had a throbbing headache for days. I got up and went to look out the window. It was winter yet. It was cold by the window. There was a draft. But it felt good. As it felt good to press my forehead against the icy glass. I kept blinking, but my eyes wouldn't clear. I thought of the women who'd cried themselves blind. I blinked and blinked, fear rising. Then I saw you. You were wearing your brown vintage bomber jacket, the one that was too tight, and looked only better on you for that. And your hair was dark and thick and long, which is how I knew that we had to be back in time, way back, almost 30 years. Where were you going? Nowhere in particular. No errand, no appointment, just strolling along, hands in pockets, savoring the street. It was your thing. If I can't walk, I can't write.